With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A what if, a thank you, and a go away. That's how I'm going to start the show off.
Right.
A what if, a thank you, and a go away. And this thank you is going to, it is going to spark your day if you are a Houston sports fan. We'll get to that in a sec. I want to start with a what if, though. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is on to Los Angeles. What if Davis Mills is right? I talked about this yesterday. I posted a video on it. And I kind of rolled my eyes when he said it. But what if Davis Mills is right? What if the Texans have actually been playing really good? Let me lay this out for you, because this is fascinating to me. The Texans are 0-3. Davis Mills right now is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL statistically. There's no disputing that. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the entire NFL statistically. He's in the bottom three in every category that you give a damn about. But let's go through what he said minutes after each game. This was Davis Mills yesterday talking about, or 2 days ago in Chicago, talking about how he felt that the Texans played.
I thought overall we played well today. It's just a tough result.
All right, you threw an interception in the end zone. You threw an interception to end the game. You had a running back completely gash you. You didn't take advantage of opportunities. You were 0-for-4 on third down. Davis Mills was 0-for-3 passing on third down. And he said that they played well. Here was Davis Mills after the performance in Denver, in which he completed 50% of his passes, which is something Deshaun Watson only did twice his entire time here. Brock Osweiler only did once. And Brian Hoyer only did twice in his 2015 season. Here was Davis Mills after the Denver game.
Solid. I mean, obviously, I want to go see the film. I know there's missed opportunities that we have, some missed throws that I've been, that I got to be better with. But, I think as a team, we're putting ourselves in the situation to win these games. We just got to take advantage of it.
All right, so he would assess his performance as solid. And let's go to Indianapolis, the Indianapolis game where the Texans lose to the Indianapolis Colts. Here's Davis Mills talking about how he felt after the Texans tied.
We're close. I mean, I think we're close. We got a lot of work on. We're happy with where we're at. We did some really good things. The result shows we got a lot to work on, and, I mean, we're ready for it.
So I start this with the what if. We'll get to the thank you and we'll get to the go away in a second. Figgy motivated me for the go away. So thank you very much, Figgy. We'll start with the what if. What if Davis Mills is right? What if Davis Mills is playing good? What if Davis Mills is actually telling me something that I should be taking into account? What if this is, to quote Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets, what if this is As Good As It Gets? What if this is it? What if Davis Mills is playing well? What if this team is playing well? What if he's right?
Playing well for what? I mean, for their level of talent?
Maybe.
Because the running game is not there outside of Damian Pierce. The offensive line has had some, you know, some good moments, but certainly shaky. The wide receivers have not performed. The tight end has been erratic. So is he saying, I'm good and these guys are bringing me down? Or what do you, I mean, what's going on?
I mean, he's assessing his personal performance. He's assessing the Texans' performance. Maybe it's a combination of both. Maybe this is just as good as it gets. Maybe, you know, when the Texans say that they're close, maybe close is as close as they can get. Maybe they can't finish the deal. Maybe that's what they're saying. Because I'm hearing Lovie Smith talk about, you know, how close and we're not going to change anything and all these types of things. So maybe that's just where it is. And honestly, it wouldn't be the biggest shock. It wouldn't be the biggest shock knowing what we knew heading into the season, knowing what we knew when Nick Caserio took over. It might not, it's not the biggest shock if the Texans are, you know, just not capable of winning these games. And maybe Davis Mills is right. Maybe this is what to expect week in, week out from Davis Mills, and maybe he should be proud of himself. I just thought about that, and that was the what if.
Well, what you're saying then is this is going to be obviously number one. It's going to be a really long year. But the second thing is Davis Mills ain't it. I mean, if this is good and this is as good as it gets, then he's admitting I can't do better. I can't be an upper echelon quarterback unless he's just surrounded with like uber talent all around him.
It is surprising to see a quarterback after losing a game go up there and say stuff like this.
He said good, and decent, solid.
Yeah, after
close,
Denver.
Solid and good.
His worst performance might have been even with the Bears game in Denver.
Yeah.
And he said solid.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I've never seen anything like it. I never even saw Brock Osweiler go up there and say this type of stuff after losses. I mean, there was some hokiness to it, but I've never really seen anything like this.
Every interception really has a different story.
And he was right about that. We had fun with it, but he's right. Like, it does. Like, some get tipped, some get batted, some go through a guy's hands, some are ugly. I actually think that travels well with time. Every mm-hmm. interception does have a
story. Why, Brock? Why?
And Lovie Smith, by the way, tip passes, not always the quarterback's fault as well. So he's sticking his chest out for Davis Mills. He made it clear, by the way, Davis Mills is their quarterback. This was a while ago. Davis Mills is our quarterback. There you go. So thank you very much. This is what he's going to be saying it like if this continues, though, because I noticed Lovie had a little bit of a sore throat, so I just combined his sore throat yesterday with this. This is how hear how he just said Davis is our quarterback.
Right? Davis is our quarterback.
This is how he's going to be saying it if we go like three more weeks and Davis Mills continues to play like this.
Davis is our quarterback.
One more time, Lovie.
Davis is our quarterback.
There you go.
Oh my
struggling.
God.
Struggling. That is Can't even get it out.
Davis is our quarterback.
So where's the line then with Davis Mills?
What do you mean?
For Lovie to make a change.
I don't think there is one.
I know what you and I want, and Figgy wants, and most Texans fans want him to just play all year, whether it's good, bad, probably bad, and you get a better draft pick, and you find out on Davis Mills. I get that. But if, you know, as I said yesterday, if you're trying to win games and you're the head coach, is there not a line to replace him?
He got to get hurt.
Is that it?
If he get hurt, Kyle Allen come in and ball out, then it's going to be hard to put Davis Mills back in.
Kind of the reverse of Tyrod Taylor last year in a way.
Tyrod got his job right
he
back.
He did get his job
he got
back.
It back, but he wasn't good.
Yeah, and then he got benched. Yeah, that's
and
true.
And got hurt, yeah, so he did get it back.
So is it just like, because he said, and I was listening to it again this morning, and he said, no, in terms of time to change, you know, change the quarterback. He says, three games is too hasty, which I'm good with that. That's fine.
Is it?
I guess it's three games a little hasty.
Okay.
I will say in 2004 with the Bears, he went through four quarterbacks.
Yeah, but that was a disaster. That was like the Chad Hutchinson reclamation project. And
Chad Hutchinson and then Craig Krenzel and then Jonathan Quinn and then Rex Grossman.
Yeah, those guys were trash. That was bad. That was really, really bad.
Shout out to Craig Krenzel.
So what if is the question. National champion, although they kind of cheated. Robbery in the desert. What if Davis Mills is right? Next one is a thank you. Got the sports blood pumping, man. Mm-hmm. I walked in today. We got a security guy named Harold. Harold's hilarious, by the way. He's a funny dude. And it's been fun following Harold's bipolar mood this year because he's a Yankee fan. And Harold is a very loud Yankee fan. And he's gone through... through many emotions. He's gone through the "this is the best team I've ever seen" phase to "we suck" to "fire Aaron Boone" to "we might not even make the playoffs" to now when I walk in, Harold says the Yankees are coming for that ass.
He's back at it.
He says the Yankees are coming for that ass. And you know what? We're a week away from the MLB playoffs. And with what the Texans have given us so far, the Houston Astros and what they bring us as a baseball team is back, and we got a little bit of healthy sports hate where you can be somewhat confident that the Astros are going to be able to at least do the city proud in their effort. Figgy caught up with Harold, actually.
I did.
You talked to Harold. I think Harold's going to be our official Astros Yankees consultant. We're going to get the pulse of New York. No more Nick Turturro. It's getting a little bit old.
Back to Harold.
So we're going to go to Harold, the security guard. Harold the Yankee, as we'll call him. And let's just, if you want to get that blood boiling, that healthy sports hate blood boiling, here's Figgy with Harold the Yankee.
Yep, and I ask him on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident is he with the Yankees?
10, of course. Oh, my God.
Man, why are you so confident, man?
Yeah, Aaron Judge, man. He's going to hit 65 and maybe more in the playoff because Boogie down the Bronx with Concord, the H-town.
So are you scared of the Astros?
Well, not really. I'm scared of Altuve. That's all I'm scared of. But I'm still all the way the Yankees will win it.
Okay.
Yankees are going to win
it. So he's confident.
God, that little heart's going to be broken. Okay.
Man, Harold. Confidence.
Like so many other little hearts.
Swagger.
10, of course. Oh, my God.
He's loving it. He thought that was a trick question. 10, of course.
Harold be talking trash about anything.
You're walking out the door and he's yelling at you.
He's talking trash about anything. He was talking trash about the Giants yesterday. I put my Cowboys cheer shirt on. I was Cowboys Central yesterday.
Yeah.
Giants gonna beat the Cowboys is what he said. I said, come on, give me a break.
Come on,
you kidding me?
Come on,
come in today. It was close. I was like, nah, that wasn't really that close.
It's close for a while.
Yeah, was it? Ish.
A little bit,
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's the thank you. So we got the what if, the thank you, the go away. Here's my go away. Figgy brought this up yesterday. Nothing beats me down more than someone invading my space and appearing to be inconvenienced by the fact that he's invading my space. Monday Night Football is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone back to being sacred again because they actually have a legit broadcast with Troy and Joe. You sit down, you watch it, background noise, whatever you want it to be, it's there. If you're cooking, if you're, you know, at the computer, having Monday Night Football on is a must, and it deserves its appropriate respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday at halftime, they decided they were going to bring Jimmy Kimmel into the booth. This guy sucks. He sucks.
He used to be so good.
And he was so inconvenienced, and it was like, man, just go away. Like they're forcing Jimmy Kimmel on Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman just dipped out.
Yeah.
And
I see. Yeah, I noticed that.
And Jimmy Kimmel's going up there all put off. Sorry to bother you, buddy. Your show sucks now. You suck now. You used to be funny. Now you're just a weirdo. And you're going up there on Monday Night Football, one of the most sacred things in American television. And you're going up there almost like they're inconveniencing you. You're inconveniencing them, buddy.
Yeah.
Put your smile on and go up there and do something funny.
When was the last time he was funny? The Man Show?
Yes.
Right?
Maybe early Kimmel.
Early Kimmel? I don't know how he still gets. I mean, he gets paid millions.
Well, he was doing like a show yesterday.
He's all over the place,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. What's going on? How does this happen?
Did you see that joke he tried to bring up? Tried to bring up Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah. And, I had no idea what he was saying.
Joe Buck had no clue what he was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
It made it super awkward.
Yeah.
No idea. It was like Jack Harlow picking College Game Day picks. Like, go away. Like, if you don't want to do this, don't do it. But there's a lot of people who actually, like, put some, like, thought into it and go up there and do it. Like, respect what you got.
And does he realize how broad an audience he had there to kind of promote himself? I mean, like, Monday Night Football, traditionally, like, people who cross over from pop culture or music or movies, it's just, like, elevated them that much more. Hell, John Lennon was on Monday Night Football back in the day.
Multiple times.
Yes. Well, once in a very bad way, but I'm talking about, like, actual John Lennon and Howard Cosell were boys. And it was just, not that the Beatles needed to be elevated, I'm just saying, but the crossover appeal is enormous. Like, people just, and he blew it. He blew it.
I don't even think he cares. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's just going up there.
They didn't even need to do that.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
He wasn't funny. He wasn't being funny. That's for dang sure.
I mean, what
it was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Troy got out of there.
Troy, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah, I'm going to the bathroom.
I'll handle this. I'm going to the bathroom. I don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
Get the hell out of here.
How about Troy was at the SMU-TCU game? I saw a picture of him there.
He lives right there.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
One time Troy's dog almost bit me when I was jogging.
Really? Did you kick it?
Hell no.
Get away from me.
Absolutely not. I was jogging.
Yeah.
And there's like a normal apartment complex, and then there's like a W, and he was staying at the W at the time downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Just were jogging, walking back. This dog like snaps. I kind of back up and look. I look up. I'm like, oh, hey, Troy. Kind of wish the dog would have bit me.
Yeah, I could have gotten some of that.
Would you sue Troy Aikman if his dog bit you?
No. I mean, unless it was severe injuries. But like,
what if it was bad enough to where you need a couple stitches?
Well, he'd pay for that.
But wouldn't you want a little bit more?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Figgy, if you got bit by J.J. Watt's dog, would you sue him?
I wouldn't sue him, but he would have to pay for everything.
Right.
And give
me
some tickets and the jersey.
Oh,
and
like Aaron Judge.
Yeah. You got to make me feel good for me not to sue.
But if we're being honest, J.J. Watt has a golden doodle and golden retriever, so it ain't biting. Those dogs ain't biting.
No, they? And they're well-trained.
I mean, any dog can bite.
Et cetera. Speaking of dogs, I thought of you this morning.
Okay.
And I felt bad.
Oh, God.
I did. So, did you see this vet that's going viral over the five dogs that he would not own? There's a vet in England, like a really, really, like a TV vet, like the guy that's on TV here.
You have a TV vet?
You know, like he's got a popular show and everything. And he actually said the five dogs that he would not own. And I feel bad for these dogs because they're bred this way,
okay.
But they're difficult.
Here it goes.
I know.
You're messed up for bringing this up.
And my daughter has one.
Okay.
And it's the cutest dog ever, but it has medical issues. Number one, Chow Chow. Not because of medical issues, persistent, but it tends to be aggressive.
I got no Chow.
Number two was a Cavalier Spaniel, which I'm not exactly sure. Number three was a Dachshund, which is a wiener dog.
Okay.
Because of the low to the ground, back problems, blah, blah, blah. Number four was Shar Pei.
Okay.
They have health problems, too, that the wrinkles cause all the time. And number five was your favorite and one of mine, French Bulldog.
Well, mine, if you look at my dog, my dog's nose isn't like a lot of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she does need a surgery on her leg.
Yeah.
But... like, her nose is like her... She just snores at night.
French Bulldogs have that problem and back problems. And my daughter's French Bulldog.
I think the English Bulldogs have more of the problems, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they had the smashed nose where they had the...
My daughter's French Bulldogs had surgery on both back and nose.
See?
So they could breathe.
There you go. Looking out for it.
Feel bad for him.
Shout out to the
Frenchies. I love dogs so much. I don't want him to be sick.
Shout out to the Frenchies. I didn't know what four of those were. It seems like he's just trying to get some clicks. Screw you.
No, he's like a really, really...
Yeah,
like,
screw you, vet.
His trouble with dogs. I mean, he loved dogs.
Clout chasing POS.
I don't think he needs to.
Connected to Davis Mills. There was an interesting comment from one of our favorites this morning on the morning show. We will discuss that coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.